Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, November the 25th. Monday, November 25th of 2019. And we're so glad that you could join us tonight here in this week of Thanksgiving. As Thanksgiving is in 3 days, I have had a head start on many of you because my family had our annual Thanksgiving get-together on this past Saturday. And I'm going to another get-together on Thursday down there in the Detroit area at a friend's house of ours. And it's going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to it. But over the course of this week, I'm going to be talking to you about some, giving you some nuggets about Thanksgiving, like about the first Thanksgiving, and then the original, the first proclamation of Thanksgiving, the one that came from George Washington, as well as the one that came from Abraham Lincoln that made Thanksgiving the annual national holiday that it is today. And let me give you a hint. The idea that all Thanksgiving is a four-day weekend to eat turkey, get in a food coma, watch a football game where you know your team's going to lose. I mean, hopefully they won't lose. Take a nap, and then go do the Black Friday shopping, whether you do it Thursday night, Friday, or both. And then do whatever else you do Saturday and Sunday. To be honest with you folks, that's not all Thanksgiving is about. You know, doing all that is fine, but the ultimate reason of Thanksgiving is a day of giving of thanks to Almighty God for everything that He's given us and for the life that we have because of Him. And we should be thankful all the time. We really should be. And yeah, we can be thankful, you know, that we live in a house, we have a roof over our head, and that's awesome. That's awesome. But ultimately, the greatest thanks of all should be to our God, the Most High God, the God who reigns over us. That's what we should be most thankful for. I'm going to tell you tonight a few of the things that I'm the most thankful for. I have a list, and I figure I would share it right now. And just because I say something first, that doesn't mean it's the most important. This list is in no particular order. Number one, I am thankful to be alive. Time and time again, the devil tried to, the spirit of death tried to take me. When I was very young, the spirit of death tried to take me from this earth 4 different times. God won instead. And I'm still alive. Don't take your life for granted. Don't take a day for granted, because you never know when your last day may be. You never know. And so that was my first thing. I'm thankful to be alive. Number two, I'm thankful to be saved. And I'm not like some of these other people that you might have heard of, where before they met Christ, they used all kinds of alcohol, all kinds of illicit drugs, all kinds of smoking wacky tobacco and everything else, and all that other stuff. My testimony in that regard is that I got saved when I was very young. And I am very thankful that I had a godly mother when I was little, very young, that saw to it that I got saved. I'm glad that she got right with God before I was born. Because to be honest with you, before she was pregnant with me, her life was a mess. But I'm so thankful to God that I'm so thankful that to be a Christian. Number three, I'm thankful for the prophet of God that has been placed in my life. If it weren't for Dr. Buckley, I wouldn't be alive. He told my mother what to do when I was very young to save my life, because the doctors were ready to put me to sleep. But thank God they didn't put me to sleep. Because Pastor told my mom to fight. And to just keep fighting the battle. Keep fighting the battle. Keep fighting the battle. And he's spoken into my life. No. Time and time again. And I'm just thankful to God that I've had the prophet in my life. Fourth, I am thankful for health, for my health. That's right. I'm thankful that while I go through, while everyone goes through health issues at times, regardless of what they are, for the most part, I've been a lot better off than what I was when I was like 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. And I'm grateful for that, that God has kept me healthy. God doesn't make you sick, but I'm so glad that I have been healthy. 5, I'm thankful for the miracles that he's going to do on the inside of me. I'm thankful for my eyesight coming back. I call it by faith. I'm thankful for the ear canal coming to my left ear. I mean, my right ear, excuse me. Number 6. I am thankful to all of you listeners, those of you who have been there for me, and you who have tuned into the show to learn something about the Lord from me. Yes, also to give you sports updates and talk about whatever else is going on, what's up with McDonald's, what's up with the other stuff. But most importantly, to hear about God. And I pray that I am making an impact in your lives. An impact for the better. And so I'm so thankful to have you. Well, again, that list is I'm thankful to be alive. I'm thankful that I'm saved. That was number 2, that I'm saved. Number 3 was I'm thankful for the prophet. Number 4, health. Number 5, for the miracles that God is going to do in me. And number 6, thing number 6 that I am thankful for, and that is all of you. Pastor taught a sermon this past week, Thursday night, about giving thanks. And on a list, he put down the things that he was thankful for. He gave 8. I gave 6. Because I was not going to just copy Dr. Barclay. But truth of the matter is, we all have something to be thankful for. So instead of being complacent, and just feeling ungrateful for whatever reason, why not be thankful for what you have? There's a difference. In the Bible, it talks about give thanks in everything. It doesn't say give thanks for everything. You don't want to thank God for all the hassle. You don't want to thank God for sickness and disease. You don't want to thank God for poverty, debt, and lack. That sickness and disease, that poverty, that debt, that lack, and all that other stuff that comes with it, that's not stuff you want to give thanks to God, thanks for. You want to curse it and thank God that He wants to bring you out of it. But He doesn't want you to stay there, just stay the way you are. Amen. Now, usually, I'm going to do some icebreaker stuff right now, but usually I would have done that right from the get-go, but my heart was just kind of heavy, and thanks to God, that what I just told you about had been on my heart much of today. And I felt in my spirit that it was something I was supposed to share. So, that's why I shared with you the list of things that the Miracle Man is thankful for. There are other earthly, things on this earth and what have you, and heavenly things that I'm thankful for, but I decided to whittle it down to the list of those six things that I gave you tonight. Tomorrow night, I'll take some time and talk about how we can give thanks and glorify the Lord. How do we do that? Okay. All right. Now, I want to let you know that this show is brought to you by McDonald's and the Christmas pies that you will be able to get starting real soon. Caitlin, do they have the holiday pies yet?
No, I didn't see. Yeah, they do have them.
All right, folks, I have received word that there are holiday pies now in stock at this McDonald's. I cannot speak for every McDonald's. In other words, price and participation may vary. See store for details. Limited time only. And what these holiday pies are, by the way, is they are the pies, but as a custard filling in it. Have you ever had the holiday pies?
I haven't yet, not yet, but I will try one.
You've never had one in your life, I mean?
Not from McDonald's,
no. I have, listeners, and I will tell you something, listeners, I love them. I usually have at least like 10 of them over the course of a season. I probably don't get that many apple pies from McDonald's off the whole year, but I do with the holiday pies. Because speaking of which, I don't know why they call them holiday pies and not Christmas. What'd you say?
I think that might be a religious thing. I've heard of it, like where they have to call it holiday and not like Christmas and certain words that they have to use the word holiday.
That doesn't always make necessarily. Because. Because I will say, listeners, to be honest with you, that these war on Christmas stuff, it's got to stop. It's got to stop because, but that's the closest to politics you're going to see me get in a long time. But anyhow, nonetheless, go try yourself one of those custard pies from McDonald's. And also, McDonald's had the eggnog shake. Unfortunately, last year they made the decision not to bring it back last year. And I think that was kind of different. Well, I will tell you something, listeners. One of my favorite parts of the holidays, as far as like something that has to do with the holiday time, is sitting down with a nice cold eggnog beverage, an eggnog shake, or some eggnog just in a nice cold glass, and drinking it. Some people may say, don't you think it's too sweet? Well, I think it is sweet, but to say overly, I would say no. But it's the kind of sweet that I like. And it tastes, something can taste like Christmas. I think eggnog is one of the things that does. As does the custard pie. I don't know what a true Christmas pie has on it. What, in your mind, what does a true Christmas pie have on it? Not a McDonald's one, a real one.
The only really Christmas pie that I really like is pumpkin toast.
Is what?
Pumpkin pie.
That's Thanksgiving.
I eat for both.
You feel like in the world of if someone who lives from Indiana, it's a little bit different?
Yeah, I guess so. That's my personal opinion. I like it for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
But McDonald's has never had pumpkin pie at Christmas.
No, I don't believe they will.
So what would a Christmas pie be? You don't know.
Maybe it's
custard?
Maybe like I can't remember what it's called. I've seen it. It's like a chocolate. I don't know what it's called, but I've seen it.
You imagine it would be something like a custard?
Yeah.
Have you seen anyone else have a pie like it for the holidays?
No.
What about Steak and Shake?
So I don't know.
You never went there?
I've been there like years ago, but I don't really go there. Now,
why didn't you go there much when you lived in Indiana?
I just wasn't a fan of it.
To each his own, but listeners, you can go check out Steak and Shake and get yourself one of those eggnog shakes, which are very delicious. I had my first one from there last year. Was it as good as McDonald's? Maybe. Maybe not. I'm not going to say. I want you to go, listeners, to go try it for yourself. Do you like eggnog or no?
I do not.
Okay, why?
I don't know. I've tried it once a tiny couple years ago. Never tried it again, so I don't really know what it tastes like. It just doesn't sound appealing. Well, but I will try it again. Hope so. It's delicious.
Sweet. Yes. So sweet, so delicious. Maybe they should make an eggnog soda. Maybe they should make some eggnog ice cream. Oh, yeah, that's already been done. An eggnog-filled donut. I could go for that. I know, listeners, some of you are thinking, what about the turkey? Well, in my mind, to be honest with you, listeners, the holiday season kind of started this past weekend. Because last year, Thanksgiving was on the 22nd. This year, it's not till the 28th. So no wonder, in my mind, it's kind of a premature Christmas start. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? So in my mind, that's kind of why it's premature. And I already had my family Thanksgiving. We are going to a friend's Thanksgiving potluck, like I said earlier when I started the podcast. But nonetheless, I feel like, to me at least, that's why in my mind, Christmas time has started a tiny bit premature. But I'm ready for eggnog stuff. Maybe, listeners, maybe some of you want to send me some. You know, through a Facebook emoji or whatever. But, let me think here. Oh, yeah. Programming note. The holidays coming up. Songs I sing this week will be about, will be songs of thanksgiving unto God. There will be a Christmas song thrown in probably on Wednesday night. And then starting with next week, that'll be December, and all those shows in December up to like right next to Christmas. I'll be singing Christmas carols on every show. Something those of you who have been there, been with me at least a year or both years, you know very well, and I'm going to continue doing that. And then Wednesday, with it being Thanksgiving Eve, I have church that night instead of Thursday night. So our show will be a bit earlier. It may be a little bit abbreviated, but we're still going to have our song, our word, and our sports. It'll still be good. Okay. Listeners, I want to encourage you, please tell others how they can be a part of the show. If they want to call in and talk to me about generally anything they want to talk about, the number to call is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is 215-383-3810. And hopefully we can get some great callers tonight. All right. In this Giving of Thanks week, figured I'd start off with a song about giving thanks. It's one you may know. Especially if you went to church in the early to mid 1990s, like I did. So, here we go. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful Giving of Thanks week. Thank you, Lord God, for these listeners. Thank you, Lord God, that you are with us, that you live on the inside of us, that you go with us wherever we go. You lead us and guide us. Thank you that you lead me beside still waters. I just thank you, Lord God, that as I teach this message, these listeners will receive everything I have for them. I mean, that you have for them, Jesus. Everything you have for them. And Lord, I confess that we're going to be healthy this week, that we're going to be strong, that we're going to get along, and that every one of us is going to be thankful to you, Jesus. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that, in Jesus' name. And I confess over this program, Lord, that finances come into this show, increases in listenership come to the show, that sponsors and partners come into the show, and most important of all, Jesus, I praise you for souls coming into the kingdom as a result of this great radio program, and I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. Folks, tonight I'm going to go back to my series on the Proverbs. We'll do that tonight. And then we will do that again some next week. But then for the 2 weeks after that, those 2 weeks leading up to Christmas, I'm going to be focusing more on Christmas a lot. The reasons for Christmas. Jesus and his birth. You know, and that kind of stuff. So for tonight, Proverbs chapter 6. And I'm going to begin in verse 1. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you've struck hands in pledge of another, if you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son. Decree yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Go to the air, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer, and it gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. A scoundrel and villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart. He always starts up dissension. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. There are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 things that are detestable to him. Pay attention. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed in innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into mischief, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among others. Anyone who stirs up dissension among others. Because that man thing, that also means woman. By the way, folks, God hates, God, all seven of them are abominations. All seven of them. Six of them he hates. Verse 20. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For their commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the corrections of discipline are the way to life, keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread, and the adulterer poisons upon your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. Men do not despise if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he is starving. Yet if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it costs him all the wealth of his house. But a man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does so destroys himself, blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. For jealousy outsends a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse the bribe, however great it is. All right. All right. About the first part of this. This is talking about not giving in to folly. Folly is being a fool. You know, how long will you be a fool? How long will you live willfully in sin? I read to you There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven, an abomination to him. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, that'd be like killing. Feet that run to mischief. You know, a tongue that lies. There are three others. I'll read to you again. Read them to you again. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, that has to do with your heart, feet that are quick to rush into evil, that involves your feet, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among the brothers. Oh, wow. Two of those seven things involve lying. Two of them. So it's not just the lying tongue, it's also the false witness that is pouring out the lies. God hates both of them. He also hates the other five. Several of them have to do with your mouth. Two of them have to do with your heart. One has to do with your hand, one has to do with your feet, two with your heart, and three with your mouth. Wow. Obviously, there are other things that he despises too, but get off of God's bad list. You know what? There's something that comes to my mind right now. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And it will cost you more than what you ever thought you would pay.
Now I tell you
that for a reason. Because it's really important. And God wants us to have a good life. He doesn't want us to just be living in sin, to just be foolish, and to just be wishy-washy, not knowing what's up, what's down, what's right, what's wrong. Because we should be able to tell up, down, right, wrong. Just like how you can tell hot and cold. Should be able to distinguish. Some people, though, are just in a stupor and they can't tell. Those of us who are in it need to get out of it. because Jesus is coming sooner than what you may think. Here's the thing. He's not going to come at a time that we expect him. He's going to come at a time when we don't. When we're just living our lives and we're just buying, selling, planting, building, having a Thanksgiving feast, going Black Friday shopping, going to McDonald's, KFC, Starbucks, Sonic, Steak and Shake, and everywhere else. Just going about the day. But to be honest with you folks, we are very close to the end right now. We're closer than we've ever been. Things are just about lined up for Armageddon. Now, there are a couple of things that still need to happen, but we're close. Couple of pushing the wrong buttons and what have you can really get that thing started. That can get the whole thing started. And so it's just important that we're ready. And you know what, folks? Here's what Jesus is not going to do. Well, folks, I'm going to come on Saturday, November 30th at about 4:30 in the morning. And I want you all to look good and be ready. So at 4:30 on Saturday morning, I'm going to have general orders. I mean, at 4:30 in the morning, the trumpet's going to blow. And I want you to look good and be ready. Those of you who are my children, so that you can come with me. Nope, that's not the way it's going to work. He's going to come when we don't expect him. If we all knew when he was going to come, we'd all be repenting right now of everything we ever did. That God didn't want us to do. That's why whenever you sin, you should be repenting. If you've done a sin and you know it, repent. Taught your kids something that's not biblical, repent. Told a lie, repent. By the way, repentance doesn't mean, oh, I'm sorry, please forgive me. That's called asking for forgiveness. Repenting is turning around, turning from it, to not do that again. And when someone repents, it just makes Jesus so happy. When a Christian decides that they've done wrong and they choose to repent, when a someone, a sinner becomes born again and therefore repents of all their sin, Jesus is so happy about that. But he is more happy for one sinner. I mean, there's more rejoicing over one sinner who repents than what there is over 99 people who don't need to repent. Well, when you say, when can I stop repenting? When you stop sinning. It's as simple as that. You can stop repenting when you stop sinning. Keep sinning, you'll have to keep repenting. God hates sin. He hates it. He wants us to have clean hands and a pure heart. That's what he wants for us. So, hello. Yes. Hello. Hello.
Hi. Hello. Hello.
Oh, hello there.
Hello. I just wanted to call into your show miracle. And say that, Mr. Miracle Man, I absolutely love your show, and I love what you're preaching tonight, and I'm so glad that I have Jesus in my heart, and I don't sin anymore, that I'm a Christian, and that is probably in the top two things in my life that I'm like the most grateful for. And so I just want to challenge everybody to ask Jesus into their heart, because it's the most powerful thing you could ever do.
Amen. And we're getting closer and closer, because we're getting so close to the end right now.
Yes, I believe you are right. And so I left you a text message today as well, and I was hoping to hear back from you on that text message I sent so I could order your stuff.
Okay.
All right. Miracle Man, keep up the good work.
I will. Thank you so much.
Keep it up.
Goodbye,
God. Goodbye. Thank you so much. You know, it's always great when listeners call into the show, and that it's good. That means the message is getting out there. Because people need to hear this message. And you know what? These people who do not, you know, that caller got me into what I'm going to get into right now before I switch gears. Now, bear with me for a couple minutes, but this is really important. Folks, listen up. I care about your soul. I really do care. And hell, it's a real place. It's a place where your worm does not die. The fire never goes out. There is no water. All there is heat, fire, screaming, torment. That's all there is there. No fresh air. No water. Nothing. Nothing that brings forth life. But anyone who chooses not to give their life to Jesus Christ and decides not to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will end up in hellfire forever. You have a choice to change that. Ask Jesus into your heart today. You can pray the prayer. Ask Jesus into your heart. It's easy. It's a prayer. But you want to know what will happen after you pray that prayer? You will change your life forever. Once you give your life to Jesus and repent of all your sin, everything gets commuted from hellfire to heaven. I lost a family member just this last week. But you want to know what? They went to heaven. And I was thinking of a song that I had heard kind of recently. And it said, when we all see Jesus, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And when we all meet Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Hallelujah. And there's only one way to heaven, listeners. And you want to know what that way is? Through Jesus. It's like those parables of the wedding, where that person comes up to the door. Open the door, let me in. Come on, let me in. I knew you. I sat with you at banquet tables before. I never knew you. No, that wasn't a wedding. That was somewhere else. It was at the banquet. I prophesied in your name. I never knew you. Well, I never knew you. And then he says, throw them out. Take him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is hellfire. But in heaven, we'll get to shout unto God. We get to be right next to our Jesus, our Maker. We get to enjoy. As Christians on this earth, we get to enjoy all of God's benefits that He has for us. Healing, health, prosperity. More than enough. Miracle supply. And all of these great benefits that being a Christian comes with. And it's just such a powerful thing. If only you make the right choice to be a Christian. To give your life to Jesus Christ once and for all. I pray that every one of you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight. Lord, I thank you for this word, for this challenge. And I know it was kind of heavy, but I thought, Lord, that that's what you wanted me to do tonight. I just thank you, Lord God, that we will be doers of this word and not hearers only. I thank you that we will tell those we know about you and that we will win souls for you. And every one of us will get someone saved this week. In your name, Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, for your power working on the inside of us. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Now, in terms of sports, starting off with football, I'm going to start with high school and HSAA semifinal action. I begin with Division I, semifinal one. You had Brighton versus Belleville. Brighton wins 22-19 as Brighton goes into their first semifinal ever. I mean, their first finals ever. They had never advanced there. Neither had Belleville, to be honest with you. So congrats to the Bulldogs on making it to Ford Field. Now, in the other half of the Division I semifinals, you had Davison, the Region 3 winner, take down Sterling Heights Stevenson, Region 4 winner, by a score of 34-27. That great defense was a big key for Davison, as was their great offense. And Davison has also made their first ever state final. So the team who wins this weekend, it will be their first ever state championship for football in the playoff era. Let's go to Division II. In Division II, you had Mona Shores, surprised me. They took down Walled Lake Western 59-58. That's almost 120 points of offense. Where was the defense? I hope this whole thing gets put on YouTube. I do. I don't know if it will, though. But 59-58. Mona Shores, the Sailors, get the win. You know what this means? As a Midland fan, I'm actually kind of happy about the outcome of this one because it means that Midland actually lost to one of the best. Do I wish that Midland could have played Mona Shores a lot later in the playoffs? Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, there's a new guy running today, General Bloomberg.
Do I wish that Midland had chose to, I mean, that they had put Midland in Region 2? Yeah, I do. Midland and Flushing and Fenton. In the same district. That's how I would have done it. Yeah. and then played Walled Lake Western or South Lyon or whoever won the other district of Division II. I mean, of Region 2. Yeah. But Mona Shores will now take down on King. King totally destroyed Birmingham Seaholm by a score of 60-14. It wasn't even close. I wish I could tell you, listeners, that I thought Mona Shores was going to beat King. I don't know that, though. I honestly don't know that they will be able to. I hope they can, because if they can, then that means Midland lost to the best of the best, although it was in the first round. Now, keep in mind, Midland only had 14 seniors, so that gives me a lot of hope for next year. A lot of hope that we can just find a way to get some things going. Hopefully we won't have the rain out. Because side note, I referred to this a few times. I wanted a lot more what than what I got this season. You guessed it, didn't you? Band time. Remember I said that? And all that. And everything else. I could have used at least one more home game. Possibly two, because of all those rainouts. But this didn't happen. Maybe next year. We'll just have to see. Now, switching gears to college. Michigan versus Indiana. In Indiana. There was actually a lot of Michigan people at that game. Indiana decided to send all their kids home for spring break, for Thanksgiving break, so they didn't have that many students there, apparently. Michigan had a lot of people there. In fact, I heard a Beat Ohio chant. I heard a Beat Ohio chant coming from Michigan faithful. I actually heard it, which is pretty wild if you ask me. But Michigan takes down Indiana 42-14 after Michigan had trailed twice in that game, first by a score of 7-0, then by a score of 14-7. But then Michigan dominated the rest of the way after that. Michigan State gets the win over Rutgers, 24-0. So, listeners, football fans, Michigan fans, you may be thinking, what has to happen for Michigan to beat Ohio State? Well, we have to play 60 solid minutes of football. What I mean by this is we can't have this early meltdown that we did against Michigan State or Indiana. I would like to see Michigan receive first. Here's why. If Michigan can receive first, work their way down the field, get a touchdown, then you're up 7-0. Then, next step to take control, get that defense out there. Force them to do a 3-and-out. Next. When it's time for Michigan gets the ball back, Patterson's going to come back out. Make him run the ball some. Throw the ball some. A mixture of run and throw. Run and throw. Run and throw. Run and throw. Cue up clock as you work your way down the field. Get another touchdown. You're up 14-0.
They said Steve Martin comes here every year. I want to find out if you do.
And then as it goes on from there,
somebody says it comes every year. I don't know. I'm going to find
out. If the team from the South scores, then you want to get back to work. Don't try to just let them score again because you got a three and out. And then that team from the South decides, hey, we got the momentum back. We're down 14-7, but hey, we got momentum back. And then they go for another touchdown. They get it. It's tied. Uh-oh. I don't want that. I like that team from the South. I do. I said that last year. I love them. I love following that team from the South. However, I really like Michigan, too. And I will say, this is the most confident I've felt about Michigan football in years. Shea Patterson has me feeling good. And right now, this is a time where I'm proud to be a Wolverine fan. I'm proud. And with the level of pride that I have for him right now, I don't want the Bucks to come in here and ruin it. And I want this to be a rivalry. I want this to be a close game. I'd like it to be a close game, but I'd love it even more if Michigan just whipped them for what they did to us last year. We don't beat the team to the South. Then it'll be a record 8 in a row that we've lost to them. They're ranked number 2 in the country based on the playoff poll, behind only LSU. And then next in line is Clemson and Georgia. Listeners, you say, what about Alabama? Well, they lost their star quarterback to an injury, and they lost to LSU. So, some of you are thinking, what do you think about Bama? I don't know if Alabama's going to make the playoff unless that team from the South loses to us in Ann Arbor.
They appreciate it, guys.
I wish I could say that Michigan had a chance to make the playoff. Hey, maybe if the Bucks lose to Michigan and Michigan loses to – no, maybe if the Bucks lose to Michigan and Alabama loses to Auburn, maybe. Possible. Yeah. Except for this. Bucks won the Big Ten East. So they're going to go to Indianapolis and play the winner of the Big Ten West. Presumably Minnesota.
What are you asking for?
So. Then what happens? So this could go a lot of different ways. Needless to say, go blue. Right now, it is predicted to be a rain-snow mix. That could help Michigan. I don't know if a Buckeye knows what snow looks like. In case they don't know, it's white, pretty. Maybe they don't know how to throw football. I mean, maybe they don't know how to throw the football in snow. That's what I meant. Maybe a Buckeye doesn't know how to throw a football in snow. and a Wolverine does. But hopefully we can find a way to get her done. I mean, it's our chance. It's in Ann Arbor. It's the 50th anniversary, actually, of 1969, when we had Michigan had two losses. Bucks didn't have any. Ranked number one or two in America. Michigan upsets them. I hope that Michigan can find a way to get it done. All right. I already told you about Michigan State. Now, NFL. Oh, lie downs. What goes wrong now? Oh, that's right. You lose to those Redskins 16-13. The Redskins, who had only won one game this year. Now the Lions have only won three, 7-1. They will have to win out if they even want a chance to make the playoffs. But they got to go to Minnesota. They got to beat the Bears at home, thank God. They got to play Green Bay. Then they got all those other games they got to play. But injuries have really been bugging the Lions this year. Stafford is done for the rest of the year. They've been in a lot of these games. It's just that they've been making rough choices. That quarterback threw two interceptions yesterday. Two of them. Just in the fourth quarter. You know, yeah, throwing gifts to the opponent. And it's not even December. What's he going to be doing in December? What's he going to do in December? Throw like six gifts in a game? I hope not. And by the way, I mean, the reason I call these interceptions gifts is because that gift that they gave the other team, the ball, the football. I hope our quarterback isn't going to be throwing Christmas gifts to the opponent. Yeah, as we work our way through December. On the 8th, 15th, and 22nd, which are the games that are within the Christmas period. Hopefully we can find a way to get a win. Better get someone in there. Because we brought in Matt Patricia. We brought in some other expatriate staff. We're not getting it done. People think that fans take it, thinking that they can take ownership. Well, we can root on our team, but ultimately, you know, bad things happen. Players get hurt. Refs make bad calls. It happens all the time. It's just that we're the ones a lot too much lately being dealt the bad card. And you see what happened to the Lions? Life did. They've just been dealt a rough hand. Now, NFL yesterday. Patriots beat the Cowboys, as expected. Saints beat the Panthers. The 49ers got another win. And then we have Monday Night Football tonight. On Thursday night, you had the Texans get a big win over the Colts. That was huge. Because, yes, I like the Texans. I like the Texans so much more than the Colts.
I think the Texans are just awesome.
Well, they did get a good win. And hopefully they'll keep that going, win the division. As you don't want to mess with Texas, otherwise you will get messed with. Oh, by the way, Lions, Red Wings, I mean Pistons, Red Wings, what's going on there? Oh, that's right, losing. Sadly. Hopefully they can both find ways to really start winning again. As for whatever reason, Detroit sports right now just don't know how to win football games. I mean, ball games. They just forgot. Hopefully they'll find ways to start winning all these games and they'll play better. To get done what needs to be done. All right, folks. Until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody. You're welcome.